The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
In the meantime, you would have seen somebody mentioned there about road signs. You would have seen signs up in train stations today erected by Irish Rail warning people to stop rummaging people through the station bins looking for bottles and cans to make money off on the back of the deposit return scheme. Wendy Grace is a broadcaster and columnist who's with me now. Wendy, kind of people focusing on the negative here, does this not show the deposit return scheme is working?
Yeah, because when you actually look at the figures, I think when it first was launched, so that's February 2024, there was about 2 million bottles and drink cans returned. Fast forward now, and in June, there was 90 million returned. So it's obviously working, obviously forming new habits. It takes time. Yes, it is annoying when the machines don't work, but I think the vast majority of the time they do. For me, it's more annoying that I have the giant bag hanging up in the garage and I forget it every time I go out. But, you know, I think we can probably learn some lessons from other countries in terms of what's worked well. And for example, that issue with the bins, you know, that Irish Rail is putting up the signs because they're afraid that people might, I don't know, get pricked by a needle or something kind of nefarious might be in the bin. Other countries do this thing where they put a, basically a rack on the outside of public bins and you can pop your plastic bottles in there as a, basically a pay it forward. So you're saying, right now, I'm not bothered bringing it back, but maybe somebody else will that would appreciate the cash today. So I think that's a good idea that maybe we could look at doing. I think we're doing it in a small way here. I think some of the festivals that have taken place, there's been a place where you can leave your used bottles and then the money from that has gone to charity. So that's a really nice initiative. But I do wonder with these kind of public bins, are they sorting through the plastic waste that's left there? And if so, where does that money go? Obviously, it'd be great for it to be put back into some sort of sustainability or recycling initiative. I'm not quite sure what's happening to them. And I think everyone, well, I certainly think that it's very, I love seeing kids doing like litter picking with the special little litter pickers, and it's very enterprising that they'll go and make some money themselves.
Do your kids get a kick out of it?
Well, my kids are very funny because they seem to think this is free money. So when we go into the local shop to do our giant bag that I've forgotten 10 times, they think it's great. That's like €4 for us to spend on junk. And I could fall into the trap of it too, because you go in to bring them back and you need milk and then you have this receipt for €4 or €5 and you do end up probably buying stuff that you don't need. So my advice, if you're trying to save the cash, is probably save it up till you're doing your big shop if you can, and then obviously take the money off that receipt.
Yeah, someone told me a great idea to go in, if you do it, say, in one of the big retailers, like a Dunn's or something that has kind of different departments and everything, that you just get a gift card. And every time you go in, you put it on the gift card and let it build up, which is a nice idea.
And then it builds up,
But our house is like nice. Your house. It's like the kids think it's free money. And I kind of feel it is as well, even though I've completely, it's a great psychological trick. I completely forget I've paid all of this money on the bottles and cans that I've bought. But then when we go down to Dunn's, we do it. I give the receipt to the kids and I kind of say, knock yourselves out.
I know, it's a great fun for them. But actually, it's a good lesson for the kids, I suppose, that they're learning about recycling and they love using the machines. I do wonder, though, if the kind of reverse vending machines were the best way forward. I know other countries have a much simpler, you literally just dump the entire bag in and it's kind of by weight and it's very quick. So if you have a giant kind of bag of stuff, it can take a long time. But look, habits take time to change, but I think you have to do everything you can to make it easier for people. Ultimately, we have to achieve this particular target, which is our plastic bottle recycling targets connect to the EU, and we're meant to be recycling about 70% by 2025. So we were at 60% before the scheme, so I'm wondering what we're up to now, but it's got to be 90% by 2029.
Well, David Hall is with us as well, the CEO of iCare Housing and of Lifeline Services. David, Wendy's doing it, I'm doing it, the kids out there are doing it. People are so encouraged by it, they're rummaging through the bins in Houston Station today. It's a resounding success. The jury is in.
Yeah, it's amazing how we've been conditioned to solve this, and we're actually paying to do the recycling. It's a remarkable situation to be paying to do the recycling. We all forget we're paying for this. I just find it spectacular. And Wendy mentioned there are other parts of other jurisdictions who do it slightly differently, and I think respectfully do it better. I think everybody will want this to work, but ultimately you've got to back and ask, why can't we have the technology that segregates this in the first instance when we have bins? We have had monumental change in relation to the bins, and many households do the segregation. I think this is a failure of some parts of the country who don't have the green bins and the brown bins, and therefore they've decided to go this route as well. I don't like it. I don't like the idea of having to pay for it. I don't like the idea of having to do the work. And I think depending on your eco-friendliness of your vehicle, going up and down and finding the place full or having to wait around in a queue and wait for somebody to empty it is in of itself a challenge. But as I say, on the serious note here in Rodairn today, Irish Rail, it's a very serious situation where people are going through bins. It's a sad situation where people are looking at trying to garnish some money in that way, and also there is a risk with that. But ultimately, I'm still at a loss to understand how come we're paying for, and surely with a carbon footprint, why is it we pick the stuff that tortures us all the time? Why do we pick the stuff? If you just stop one plane taking off a day, you'd sort all this out for a year. Surely the machines can segregate this stuff when we put it into the green bin.
What would we have to talk about, Davis, if we made sensible decisions like that? You know?
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. No, we do. But we want to stop all the traffic going into Dublin because we're going to save a couple of plastic canisters for that. And then we'll have us all traipsing up and down and queuing and spending time segregating the cans. And everybody, and it's probably a frustration, I think, because the world and the planet is burning. We can all see that frustration. And I think there's a political frustration whereby we've a Green Party who should be number one. Like, logic speaking, they should be number one in political standing given the genuine risk we have to the environment around the world. And there's an abject failure that to have been successful.
I was kind of being facetious, but you do raise an interesting point. And the point has been made on this show before by kind of people much more intelligent than me that, like, every movement or political party has a certain amount of capital, and the Green Party were no different. And there's kind of an accusation made sometimes that they kind of wasted some of their political capital or a lot of it on things that, yes, they make a difference, but a lot of them feel they're a nuisance. And that really burns up your political capital quickly.
Yeah, I feel the communication failure there, doesn't it? Because you saw that kind of movement across Europe away from kind of green parties. And I think that's a failure to kind of communicate with people, like, lots of little actions make a big difference.
No, I agree. And I think you can't have the world burning every single summer, every single coverage that's there between fires, between all sorts of heat, every single thing known to man is there. You would imagine that you are the party who is fighting to try and prevent this. But again, I think then the impact that it has doesn't have the big impact on the airline companies. There's a modest one there. Doesn't have the impact on the larger scale things. Everything involved is disruptive, and I think you can solve this problem without there being a level of disruption. I'm not naive enough to understand that, but it just seems to be the easy soft targets all the time. And here we have this monumental construction of a process that is very difficult and challenging to happen, and machines that could do the job for us. Why can't the machines segregate the stuff? I tell you, if you put something in the bin, you're not supposed to put it in Dublin. The guys will be very, very fast to tell you got something in your bin. They can do a little x-ray when it suits them, have a little look at what's in your bin and weigh it and dump it out and charge you.
What do you do it yourself? Are you collecting your bottles and cans?
That questions my good self. I am not, but my good lady wife is, and I see them at the door, and actually I see them at the door every time I walk past them. I've been there once, I've done it once, and it's not.
You know, she's testing you by leaving them at the door. It's like leaving the laundry on the stairs. I'm a great man at leaping over it.
Yeah, and eventually they move closer and closer to the pathway of the door exit.
It just blocks them. Why is she leaving these here?
Eventually, just stop seeing that it's there. That's the problem.
That's it. My trick, though, is to move them out of sight.
Right, so not to where they're meant to go, but just out of your way. I like that. Would you be more encouraging of the scheme if there was more? Because there has been talk, and the DRS crowd themselves have talked about this, David, about kind of establishing charity machines, that you would go back and you don't get any receipts. All the money just operates as a donation to a charity.
Yeah, and I think, there's various of the clothes banks that operate in the same vein that are there that people will put clothes into. There's been a bit of controversy around them, unfortunately, which is unhelpful. But I think one of the ones that it would work undoubtedly is where there's an incentive to effectively return it, and you can either choose to take your docket or to donate the docket. I think that would be, and as Wendy mentioned, like, the forward planning is the same thing in Scotland. You go and buy a coffee in one of the coffee shops, you can forward buy for someone who's homeless, and the same with some meals. So there are other incentives that are there that work worldwide and indeed in different jurisdictions. And I think something that would give you that extra bit of incentive, like, people will be aggrieved to be charged. Like, let's be clear, we're paying the 15 cent. It's our money that's going for this to try and solve a problem that everyone wants to buy into, but now becomes a lot of work to make it happen. So if there was a benefit to another organisation or organisations in certain areas, it would work. And I think it would be greater incentive.
Owen and Bray has revealed himself to be a climate criminal. Kieran, I don't know what the fuss is. I buy a bottle of Ballygan fizzy water every week and I just put it in the green bin. Simple. As somebody else says, if they regularly empty the bins like they do in other countries instead of leaving them overflowing, there wouldn't be crap all over the place after the people who are down and out go foraging for bottles and cans. Kathy says, in Europe, it's common to see homeless people going through the bins. I learned to leave my bottles beside them. It's a very common problem. Lord love them. And this listener says that they are screaming at the radio. No less. One, my daughter works in town and she says most of the poor souls looking for bottles and bins pull the rest of the waste out and don't put it back. And two, no one has asked the people responsible for this deposit return scheme how many bottles were being returned in green bins anyway before this so-called successful scheme. So says Deck anyway. And one more for the moment. Me and my wife would pick up free money returns on a walk. I put it into a Revolut vault for fun. €10 in there in under a week. Oh, some people making a few bob out of it. If you call around to David Hall's house, I mean, he has got bags and bags of them, I understand, that he's
moving out of the way
that he's not bringing back to the machines. David,
two bags.
Thanks for chatting to us. David Hall, CEO of iCare Housing and Lifeline Services. Wendy Grace, broadcaster and columnist. Wendy, thank you as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.